You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Maybe. Oh, is it recording right now? We're recording. What? What? What you just heard was Janine Brito.
That is me.
Of Chelsea Lately and Totally Biased with Kamau Bell.
Those are things I did.
Those are things she has done. She is in the studio now. When she was here, her little cord fell out of her ear. Then I is
here. Sabrina came to my rescue.
And I plugged it in her ear. And then I literally just invented a new way. That's like the game for friendship, though. I really do think this, I could
like
write a whole book.
To like sabotage someone and then
not
help them?
Sabotage in like a heavy way, but like.
But like a light inconvenience.
Yeah, just stab them a little and be like, hey, you need stitches?
I got them. Conveniently no training, have. But here's my sew kit.
Yeah. Guys, you know, sometimes we start this off with a good old fashioned. Oh, god damn.
What were you going to say? There was a starting of a word and then you
good
stopped.
Good old fashioned.
Good old fashioned.
Good old fashioned intro. Usually I start it with being like, welcome to my sexy podcast. But now you get it here, okay? Because a lot of people listen for that.
We had
radio
a moment
voice.
And we went with it.
We
I
went
feel
with
like
it. We stuck
what
with it.
Better intro is there than that?
There's nothing more organic
special
than a moment.
Moments.
The kind that you wait a lifetime for. Special moments.
The kind that warm your heart up so.
Special moments. It's a holiday feel any time of the year.
This is going to be like the Bob's Burgers version of the podcast because they always have songs on there. I approve.
Guys.
I approve.
Guys being just you. Guys, I already love this episode.
Me too.
And let's make it better for you, Janine Brito.
This is my favorite song.
Michael McDonald, What a Fool Believes.
Legit my favorite song.
Taking us back to 1985.
I
what were you doing?
What was I doing?
In 1985.
I think I was a little baby.
Little guy?
A little baby. I am a young woman with the musical taste of a divorced dad.
Special moments. Are your parents together?
No,
you just said stepfather before.
I did. I said stepfather.
I caught you. I caught you in the old divorce conundrum. Was it a conundrum when they got divorced?
I was 8.
Oh,
I've
that's
heard
a conundrum
was,
age.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, but my sister had it worse. My sister's like 10 years older than me. So she was like
18 and like, guys, get it together.
She was devastated.
Oh, no.
And I was like, this sucks, but I still have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, I had a little distraction.
Two lesbian Ninja Turtles?
Huh?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Did you think I said teenage lesbian?
Yeah, like the saving grace was your two lesbian Ninja Turtles. And I was like,
a lot of Girl Riot, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles slash fiction when I was a child.
Okay, so for you, you were like, you had dealt with it in stride, and for her, she was like, oh, shit.
Because I think when you're older, you're more, you know what's going down.
But she also probably was around for the reasons why.
Yes, very much so.
Unless they were, like, covert about it.
No, they were not.
So then she, okay. Yeah.
Getting into some heavy stuff at the top.
I mean, listen.
Are your parents together?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
but
a big yeah.
But they are always showing me the reasons why they shouldn't be.
Right.
JK. But not. I mean, I think that any marriage that's like,
it's
you know,
hard.
Lasts a long time.
Has ups and downs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've said this before on the podcast, but my longest relationship outside of like family and whatever is with like comedy, I guess, or more my longest intimate relationship that like, you know, we're constantly trying to fuck and all that.
Is comedy
and like, you know, there's ups and downs in that as well.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
How long ago did you move here?
I moved here like 2.5 years ago.
And then where'd you grow up?
I grew up everywhere. I was born in Miami, Florida.
Ooh,
and then my
Miami-Dade County.
Miami-Dade County.
Good old-fashioned Dade.
Yep. Candle.
So how long were you in Miami?
I was in Miami until I was 10.
Okay.
And then my mom got together with my stepfather, who is a British man.
Oh, shit.
And then we moved everywhere around the world.
Everywhere around the world?
So we went from...
No wonder you were like, get divorced. I want to go on a fucking safari and then eat tuna in Tokyo.
Totally.
Really?
I didn't live in Tokyo, but I lived in Hong Kong. Same diff.
You did?
I did. I went from Miami to Scotland. Then they weren't married and there were like some immigration issues in Scotland. So we went to live with my grandparents in Alabama for a couple years.
Yeah, there's always like a preface story of why you moved to Alabama from those places.
Otherwise,
then Alabama.
No one's ever excited. Like, and then we were lucky enough.
Straight to Ferguson.
And then Hong Kong. Then I went to high school in Louisville, Kentucky. Then I went to college in St. Louis. Then I went to San Francisco for comedy. Then here. And now I'm moving to LA in
January.
So
you are a transient little mess of a lady.
I am. I'm scared. I'm moving to LA and that's like the last spot for me. I am in January in like 2 or 3
Just
weeks.
Just for pilot season or for life?
For life.
Season.
For life season. And I'm scared because every 4 years, because of how I grew up, I get antsy. I'm like, it's time to go.
And then you're like, oh shit.
And now I'm like, this is the last one that I get to do.
Well, you can come back to New York.
True.
People do that all the time.
Yeah, that's true. I'll just bounce back and forth, hopefully, if I'm lucky. Knock on wood.
She just knocked on her dick.
And that it was hard as a rock.
Mine too! I think it was the special moment song for both of us.
Oh, absolutely.
Then when... Okay, this is so much to chew on. I'm sure the listeners are just literally chewing on their fingers just while chewing on in their mind. Okay, in their mouth, they're chewing their fingers. In their mind, they're
not
chewing
their fingernails,
your
like
information
their fingers,
of where
they're
you've
like,
lived.
Yeah, they're gnawing on their fingers like a
fingers.
Dog bone. Just like,
And in their belly button, they have another little just spongy type thing they're chewing on. So it's the triple chew. It's a classic. It's what we call here at My Sexy Podcast, the classic
belly button
triple
sponge?
Chew. You heard it.
What is that noise? Is that like a Law and Order? Little like.
Boo to that question. If you don't know what that noise is, you don't deserve to know what that noise is. And then I press this button, and then Janine falls into a hole. My next guest is a dog. Whoa, that was good.
This podcast is a little high budge for me.
It costs approximately $40 billion each episode, but it's worth it. It's worth it because... What did you just say?
Nostalgic tale.
Because it's... Okay. For his nostalgic tale?
Yeah, because it's about a man who runs into a lady who he's been in love with forever.
Oh, God. Are you watching The Affair on Showtime?
No, I'm not. But the song, I feel like, is the inspiration for it.
My fucking God. I cannot tell you how it is. I mean, like, I love how I'm pretending this is a unique feeling, but this is just, like, what happens in life now is that you meet a show and then you get wrapped into their talents of... addiction to the show where you're just like, well, cancel everything. Literally canceled everything until I came here. I was late to come here because I couldn't stop watching The Affair. I am married. I feel like I'm having an affair. I am having an affair with this show, like on my life.
I am so far behind on TV and I feel like it's because I do that. I'm scared to get involved in it. I can't go through another TV relationship.
I just can't commit again.
I can't.
Not after the big breakup of Homeland 93.
But I do that where I'm just like, well, this is what I'm doing for the next month.
Yeah.
Just this show. And then everything else in my life falls apart.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, balance. Yesterday, I was running around in that goddamn rain, auditioning, doing everything, making a career for myself. And then today, that's what happens. We do so running so hard. And then today, it's completely fine that I will literally just cancel anything that I have tonight to watch more.
To watch more. So so The Affair is about an affair.
It's about an affair. There's so much sex. There's
good sex?
Good sex.
All right.
Like,
okay.
I'm into it.
Okay.
It's sexy. It's just like, you know.
I heard it's like one part is his point
half
of view
part
and then.
His and hers.
Which is
which
so
is interesting.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, my first relationship was an affair. So there's that.
Scandalo!
So there's that scandalo! Maria!
What happened?
That's the classic.
That's
scandal
the scandal sound?
Isn't that the opening credits to the show Scandal? Is
is that? Yeah, yeah. It's so eerie and ominous. Oh. I had my hands cupped to my face while that whole time.
But
like
they
little,
were in
little,
a,
like
in
otter
pinchers.
Yeah. It's like,
Okay, so you're going to move to LA in January.
Yes. But what? I want to hear about your affair.
Oh, we'll get to that if you need to tell me one secret too.
Okay. What's I'll yours? Have to think of a secret. Oh God.
Come on.
Oh God.
Remember when you used to have sleepovers and you would trade secrets and like before the sleepover, you'd be like, okay, my secret's going to be that my uncle like owes my dad money and he and my dad's like stressed about it.
Well, yeah, you would plan because you.
But you would have the good when you were eight. Then you would have the one where it's like, I think my parents are like not getting along.
Dude, that was, I had an epiphany. I had an Oprah breakthrough with my parents' divorce.
Yeah.
So I have, with ladies, I have two very specific types. I have like on one end of the spectrum, very angelic, high femme, like buxom Dutch milkmaid. Like just sweet.
Buxom Dutch milkmaid?
Yeah, like very sweet.
I'm
going to
Google buxom Dutch milkmaid.
Fair,
no, I'm going to YouTube buxom.
I'm an angel with tits. Like that's Dutch. One side. And then on the other side is like, hard femme punk tatted up. I work at a bar. I have some issues. I might stab you during sex. Like those are my two
types. I've only dated
those
kinds, but not the one that stabs. But
like there's the threat in the air.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And with that kind, I realized. So my dad left my mom for another woman named Lilac. They met in bartending school. She's a stripper from Pensacola. Yeah.
No.
And she was crazy hot. And I think that's where that stems from. Because I found out. I went and saw my sister over the summer, and she was talking to me about Lilac. And Lilac was like,
is Lilac still around?
I haven't seen her in years. They broke up. It was a very tumultuous relationship. She was a mess. But my dad was like, my dad was always like a very sexy man.
Yeah.
But she was like in her 20s.
So he did the affair.
He absolutely did many affairs.
Oh, shit.
Good dude, but yeah. Had a vice with women.
Yeah.
So
and your
like,
mom was understanding about it to a certain point, and then eventually she was like, why don't I just date this fucking British guy that's going to take me around the goddamn world?
I was waiting for the biggest sound effect and it was just a little clack.
I mean, the truth about our budget is we can only afford like 7 sound effects.
Okay.
This is one of them though. So getting back to this appetite for women.
So yeah,
and how it translates to your
to my type
desires.
It's Lilac was totally that type, like dark hair, blue eyes, like just.
Oh, dark hair, blue eyes, though, is like everyone's vice.
Oh,
it's like because
yeah.
You also feel like
so
you
good.
Discovered it. It's like a four-leaf clover of like, well, I gotta pick her up.
Right, totally. But then also like she was a Harley. My dad was a big Harley guy. I think that's. I had like a realization this summer of like, oh, those are my daddy issues. They generate in the women I date. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
But you, so your daddy issue translates into dating the kind of woman that your dad would date, like a bad boy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Does your dad still dating around?
He passed away.
Oh, he passed away.
Yeah.
All right. Shout out to your dad.
Two fingers
to
heaven.
We're both fingering the air. We're both just fingering angels
heaven.
Now. On behalf of your dad.
Yeah! He would have loved that.
He would have. So did you get to do like good make amends-y before?
I'm assuming
it was probably sudden.
It was very sudden. We were fine. Like my whole life, my dad was my hero. And like, even though I knew all of his shortcomings, he was
Seems like a cool dude.
He was a cool dude. He was always like, I'm so sorry for what I did. He was like very remorseful for it.
Self-actualized.
Yeah. And he was a good dude.
Was it a car accident?
Brain tumor.
Oh, fuck. And just quickly done.
Super cool. Like my first week of college.
Oh, sorry, buddy.
It's okay. Friendship hands.
We are holding hands, but I'm really sorry. I don't like when it's sudden death is not a good thing.
I know.
It's so
everyone
when did
listening,
that happen?
This was when I, right after I turned 18.
Oh my God. So 18 was tumultuous for your sister and for you.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
What?
Shit. I mean, I bet you didn't think this would be Ayan La Fix Your Life.
It is.
But it fucking is.
Single rifle shot.
That was actually called hockey shot, so I didn't know that that would sound so much.
Well,
like,
you're from Canada, so to you it sounds
I
hockey.
I was drawn to it.
And I'm from Florida, so to me it sounded shotgun.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah. And to both of us, this sounds like a beautiful lady.
Auga.
Auga. Are you, so do you date toxicsies?
Toxicsies?
you know, the brand of lady.
The brand of lady. Yes,
like
I do.
Troubled ones that you do fixing?
Oh, yes.
Here I come with my toolkit ready yes. to fix everything.
I have a total, like, let me save you yeah. thing happening. Do you have that?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't think, I mean, I think that's probably just, yeah, I guess it's a common one. Lots of people like to do fixings. I mean, I guess there's
everyone
also
likes
people,
to be a hero.
Everyone likes to be a hero. I definitely, for both my brother and I think we are drawn to, like, you know, I've always dated white girls that had credit card debt. And by the end of the relationship, we got that all fixed up. Not because I paid for it, but because I was like, all right, now let's make a budget and let's fix your life.
Right.
Like, the first girl that I dated did, like, a lot of coke and was, like, just, like, not in a good place. Mm-hmm. Her mother had just passed away. And then, and she was 27. I was 18. And it was, like, actually just for laughs we met. She was a driver for the festival. And I didn't know I was gay. I mean, like, you know, you don't know.
Yeah.
And then you fall in love and you're like, oh, yeah, my pussy knows.
Yeah. The pussy always knows.
That pussy always knows. That pussy ain't ever wrong. That pussy always knows. That pussy ain't taking time.
I love the mismatch of the sound effects.
Also, the sincerity of the stories with.
I know. We are. Okay, so our readers are probably seamless. Like, "Are these girls are emotionally immature. We're also, just talking about deep stuff and we're comics and we don't know how to deal. So we're masking it with, like, whoa.
No, I really. I think.
I think this shows how we are. It's genuine. The pussy always knows.
The pussy always knows. Okay, yeah, that's the one that we should have gone towards.
Yes.
So anyway, so it was like a long affair, and then we didn't last that long outside of the affair, surprisingly enough.
Was she with another woman or with a man?
She was with another woman.
Okay. And she had been out for...
She'd been out for a while.
Oh.
When did you start dating? When did you realize? Like, oh, when did you, I guess, you different. Realized when you fell in love with someone, right?
No, I realized when I was like 5.
I mean, I like knew. Now, in retrospect, I should have, like, I realized, but hid from it.
Yeah, I absolutely knew, but my family was super religious, so I, like, swallowed it down. And I came out finally when I was 21.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
It's a very long time.
Approximately 16 years, if my math would do my...
Yeah, that's correct. But it was... I knew. Like, I was so hyper aware of
and
it.
And you didn't tell anyone?
I didn't... Like, the first time I told someone, I think I was, like, 6, and it was just so innocent. It wasn't like I'm a gay person. It was, like, me and my favorite cousin Jonathan were playing, and then we were, like, kissing our pillows, and he was, like, my pillow so-and-so, and said some female celebrity, like Janet Jackson, Madonna, whoever was big at the time.
Yeah.
And then I was, like, oh, I gotta top that. So I was, like, well, my pillow's Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
And he flipped out. He was, like, oh, my God, that's so gross. You can't kiss someone who's the same. Oh, that's gay.
Oh, my God.
And that's when
you're
I was, like,
also, it's a bunny rabbit, bro.
No, Jessica Rabbit was a lady. She was my first crush. Have you not seen Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
God damn it. I thought that was such a good zinger, too. I was like, how about the fact that it's a fucking beast? I've seen lots of things. I don't remember all the things that I see.
Jessica Rabbit is a hottie.
She's a hot lady.
She's a hot lady cartoon.
Oh, shit. So that's still a beast.
It's still a, it's not
if
a real
cartoon
person.
People were walking around, people would still have problems with inter-cartoon human relationships. Yeah, do you think, actually, do you think that people, that your cousin, that people in like, you know, for religious reasons that don't like homosexuality, if there were to, if cartoons were to...
I mean, there was a movie called Cool World where... Kim Basinger was a cartoon lady and Brad Pitt was a real life person detective and they had a tumultuous love relationship that was forbidden.
I mean, and how did Alabama feel about that? I'll have to do some Googling and bring it back in the next episode.
Yes.
God, I love our pet tiger. Okay, cool. So I have a lot of questions though.
Okay.
Who was the first person you fell in love with?
Fell in love with, I mean, my first girlfriend was when I was 21, shortly after came out. We were together for 3.5 years.
That's a good solid starter kit.
Yeah, I do that a lot. I do
the 3.5 years?
I did 3.5, 6 month, year and a half.
And now. You're just on the end of year and a half or you're... In the midst of
it.
I'm
at post year and a half.
You went breakup?
I went breakup.
Okay.
I broke up.
2015, man.
And so I guess, yeah, that's the, I think the first relationship, I think, is the first time. Because it's like, it's not an unrequited crush. It's a two-way street. You learn about each other. That's where a real thing sort of grows. So yeah, I would say my first girlfriend from college.
Spoiler alert and where a real thing grows. I need to break up.
What?
I'm kidding.
Oh, I was like, don't say this to me.
In my mind, I thought it would be funny if when you said like the equipment for the real relationship was something that I didn't have. I don't know. Guys, you know what?
These just
you
jokes.
Take risks conversationally.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, I'm in the middle of a conversation and I don't believe in what I'm saying. And I wish that I could put on a parachute and just jump out of the sentence. But you're in that fucking sentence.
You're in
and
the middle
it's
of
got
saying.
To end somewhere.
Yeah.
It's got to end.
Yeah.
And you've got to make a point. And then the other person, the onus is on them to react.
Well, I had a genuine, I thought I was going to have to like talk you through some marital issues of like, all right, everybody buckle in. We're going to... I'm going to, what is it? Iyanla.
Iyanla.
Save your life.
Alanis Morissette. I'm going to look up a quote from Iyanla. And in the meantime, you're going to tell me why the fuck you're going to LA, bitch.
I'm going to LA because I did most of my comedy stuff in San Francisco. So most of my buds are in LA now. And because I'm from Miami originally, I can't do this cold weather. I fucking can't.
No, I feel
I hate
you.
It.
I do
with
feel
a
you. On that, I do. I mean, like, I just went to Thailand. Thailand,
so fun.
Yeah, and then came back here, and then you know, you go to nice weather places and where life is easy, and you
was
come
it,
back here sometimes, and you're like, what the? Why do I do this?
Was it work stuff or purely
vacation? Purely sexual.
Oh, good, good.
Purely
yeah.
a sex trip.
Yeah, all right.
It was
great.
No, it was just a vacation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I went with my wife, Shauna. We had so much fun Vest Buying around the islands. Cool time. But then
very
when
nice.
I flew back, because you lived in Hong Kong, so you can tell me. When I flew back Air China. And I thought everybody in China was not doing the nice one. They were doing rude.
Oh, yeah. There are many cultural differences.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know from living in Hong Kong, there's like personal space isn't really a thing. Like if you go to the beach in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
If you go to the beach here, it's like people like show up and they kind of space out a little bit.
Yeah.
Not in Hong Kong. Even if like I would go to the Repulse Bay beach all the time. That was by my house.
Repulse Bay?
Repulse Bay.
I mean,
awful
there
day.
You go. This is
awful day.
Classic China.
But like, even if the beach was totally empty, everyone lines up their towels right next to each other. Like, it's very orderly in a row. Super,
and
super
it's about,
tight.
And it's about the order?
It's not about the order. It's like there's just no such thing as a personal bubble. And everyone's kind of okay with just being up in your business, which
I mean,
for Westerners gets very uncomfortable.
Yeah, but just at, like the tact thing I felt was missing a little bit with like just when you exit a plane, like they, and it happened. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't people that, I'm not saying that this doesn't happen. Whenever
elsewhere.
You make
right.
a generalization about a culture, that's a generalization. We know what that means. That, that it's completely true for every single one.
I saw more
and
than
those
three people do this.
Asians. But I guess it was also the shock of like being going from Japan where everything's like so like
has its
that
order.
Respect
yeah.
is like such an important thing and Thailand where like and Thai people were just so welcoming and like a little more rough around the edges but like just super sweet and then to be in China and just be like what the fuck dude. They were just like everybody, like the servers were like, I mean, like just shocking. It was like a shocking time. When you exit the airplane, for instance,
everyone kind of
everybody
runs.
rushes the aisle. And it's like, guys, like there's like trampling old ladies. And it's just like Black Friday, one flat screen life,
which is the exit of the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets...
What do you have to say for yourself, Janine? But I'm looking at you for the answers. Why is it that way?
I'm the one who started it. Sorry. Is that everyone running to get off the plane?
Everybody in China. Yeah. But why is it like that? And let's see if Iyanla can fix the problem.
I'm struggling.
Between boyhood and manhood.
Mm. Between boyhood and manhood.
And that makes me feel... Look at me.
I mean, at times helpless.
Okay, and that makes me feel helpless.
Oh, Look at me.
You know what I just thought? That motivational speaking should be like comedy, where like New York is the hub of speeches. And then like people who do TED Talks, there's like a circuit and everybody goes around the same way. Like comedy. Like, but the way you know you killed is that people simultaneously go,
Yes. that yes is like the deaf comedy jam, someone getting up out of their seat laughing and falling on the floor. That's that version. Like, that's like an applause break, but the yes.
How'd you do up there? Well, let's just say yes. the thing about China is just that's just the custom, and so you're in a different place that's completely foreign, and they would be weirded out about the amount of attention a server gives you here, or
yeah. I mean, there it's pretty cutthroat. Like, it's all, well, not anymore. Now it's changed.
Yeah, it really seems like every man for themselves.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, for when I lived there way back in the 90s, it was like a lot of open air markets and you would barter. It was still like, not at the barter, like, oh, let me trade you my blacksmith, but like you would haggle people down. Like, yeah. And that was a fucking point of pride that you could haggle.
Yeah.
Which
I mean, I'm into that. Though.
I don't like it. You don't like it. I don't like any confrontation whatsoever.
I didn't like in Thailand when like people, it's like so cheap there, and like when foreigners were trying to haggle people down from like, you know, 50 cents to 20 cents, and it's like, oh, fuck, like, why?
Yeah. It's like,
but that just speaks to my generosity as a person. So, I mean,
Yes.
So then, saying goodbye to New York, what will you miss the most?
Oh, God.
And I'm asking you to do it now. I've got your bags and you're going now. It's not January.
Oh, God. My apartment doesn't start till January. I will miss street meat. Is that bad? Like, the first thing I'm going to miss is like...
Halal carts.
Oh, love it.
Allahu Akbar.
We're also pointing to heaven again.
Yeah, just one finger up to the angels now.
One finger to the angels.
Just a tighter angel.
A lot of food centric things I'm gonna miss, like really good pizza, halal carts, really good Mediterranean, really good bagels.
I'm glad I got you before you moved.
Me too.
Yeah, big score for Jaleesh. One other thing that I will ask you is, you came out when you were 21. When did you start doing comedy? Before you came out, after,
like,
you
right out? Before I came out when I was 21.
So then you were always gay on stage. That was always an open thing.
There was like a
that was always an open air market.
Yeah, it was also. No, I started out in St. Louis because I started right after college, and there was like a 9-month period where I was closeted on stage just because I was scared. Because I was like in the Midwest doing road gigs and I didn't know how.
Oh,
it would
girl,
go.
I know the story.
Mm-hmm. And then I did, and it was fine.
Yeah,
most of the time.
Yeah. I found when I was first coming out that like it was also about my confidence in sharing it.
Oh yeah, totally.
Which is always the case, even when you come out to people. It's like if you're in that stage where, like, I know in the beginning when I told my brother, I was like, I'm bisexual. You know, like, I was like, I'm, you know, I kind of still like a guy,
too. I didn't even bother.
I just felt like, you know, you feel like you're a liar if not. If you, for me, because I had, like, pictures of Scott Wolf because I love Jennifer Love Hewitt, but I had pictures of Scott Wolf everywhere.
Yeah.
So you didn't want to be like, yeah, that was just a sham.
Well, I was
dragged.
Because
I also didn't feel like
closet.
It was a sham. You were dragged?
I was dragged out of the closet by my best friend in college, Danielle, who I love to death and I'm so thankful she did. Like, I was so obviously gay. People throughout my life would bring it up. Like, my dad asked me when I was like 12 or 13 if I liked boys in a way like, do you like boys? Like that
you
kind
don't
of
like
way.
Boys, yeah.
And then, like, I remember my friend's mom in high school asked me, and people would just kind of like, it would constantly come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, almost when senior year was done, my best friend and I went out to dinner, and she, like, in the middle of the dinner was like, Janine, you're not straight. Because she was talking about dating stuff, and I was like, oh, really? What do you think about me? And she was just like, you're not fucking straight. She flat out told me.
She's a cool girl.
I love her. She's the best. And then when she said it, I was like, yeah, you're right. And then she was like, so are you bisexual? And I was like, let's not fuck around anymore. It's been this long. But Danielle was great. Danielle used to come out with me to open mics, and she was often the only real life person in the audience, and she wouldn't laugh unless she thought it was funny. And I was like, hey, come on, laugh at these guys. I'm trying to make friends with these comedians, and you're sitting in the audience stone faced.
Yeah.
And she would always be like, I have two rules. No pity laughs, no pity fucks. Like, that's the kind of girl Danielle is. So,
Danielle,
we love you.
We love you.
You're the best.
I'm trying to find your favorite song, but what's your other favorite song?
My other favorite? Oh my God.
I'm giving it all to you. You're about to go away. Number one song that you like to listen to. Otherwise, we're gonna listen to Drake and we're gonna listen to Drake.
I mean, I love a lot of 80s songs. I love a little Aha take on me. What did I listen to?
My mother was the love of my life. When she died,
what?
I lost everything.
Wild by Cheryl.
I'm gonna walk
Strait,
myself back to the woman my mother raised.
Guys, this is Cheryl
and Monster.
Today's episode is brought to you by a woman named Cheryl. They love their moms. They'll go 1,000 miles for you. Woman named Cheryl and Reese Witherspoon. Wait a second. Lost track because I was focused on getting it. Sometimes I don't have my priorities. I get it. Guys, you don't have to write messages to me. You've done it before. I get it. Sometimes I focus on the sound effects. And you also, yeah, you called me out on it. It's because I'm too scared to get real.
Yalla, save my life.
Okay, take a breath.
Oh.
Do I need to come closer to you?
Yes.
Oh.
Imagine she starts
okay, no, 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 no. Really. You are it.
She's like on his lap, just kissing it on the neck. Is this better?
How does this make you feel?
Okay. What was I going to say? Because you got dragged out of the closet. So she dragged you out in that personal way. But
oh,
then,
yeah. Not in a mean way. It was very much like a loving. We were super close.
And then from the religious family time, was there any juicy there? Or it was just pretty much they're like, yeah, you're so gay. I mean, like, what are we going to do with you?
Most family were okay. Most family were like, yeah, of course. Some people still had a hard time. I did have family members who were like, I support you, but you can't be out in front of my kids because I don't want my kids to catch it. And I was like, that's not how it works. A little bit of that.
I have to rub their forehead with my forehead, silly.
Hello. I'm still not out to my dad's extended family because my abuela is still alive.
Okay.
And she's very religious and a very old lady, and I feel like it would kill her. Like, I feel like but she wouldn't knows,
they,
but
wouldn't
would
they
her.
Not tell her? Like, for me, I came out to my Muslims, and they, like, obviously there's no way to tell. Like,
I don't trust the
I mean, it is
Cuban
a lot of drama, too.
Of my family.
If you don't need to, then you don't need
to. Yeah, I mean, they know. Everybody, just, it's like an open secret on there. Like, I'm sure, like, the Cuban family that speaks English has Googled me.
Yeah.
I'm sure they heard I do comedy, and I'm very open on stage. I don't feel like I need to have a conversation with each person.
Yeah. I think that is completely... And the fact that you're out on stage is... I always think that it's important for people to come out because it, you know, furthers the evolution.
I think really
we
now...
We benefit from people coming out. But, like, you what you do on stage and the way you live your life openly is that.
And I think it's very important now for women and any people of color to be out. Because I think, you know, we've got... Like, a lot of the entertainment community that's gay is... pretty white. Like, we have Wanda Sykes. That's all we have is like Wanda Sykes.
Oh, I thought you were listing white people. No, and I was like, Janine, get a grip.
Have you only heard her on the radio?
This is my dad about coming in.
Are you going to ignore that fact?
I'm attracted to women.
It was a sudden shock, but are you going to ignore that fact of life and be, you know, be tied to your belief? And lose a relationship in the process? Or you're going to, you know, think beyond?
I met an amazing...
Yeah, that's a video
that was very
Iyanla put out. Yeah,
it was.
I ain't afraid to bring my dad into this Iyanla theme. But then this lady wrote, I was looking at the comments the other day, and this lady and most people are like, your dad's awesome, way to go. If you want to see it, it's Moral Courage. And just do Moral Courage Sabrina, then you'll find it. Okay? All right.
I'm going
to
look at it.
Then this lady, Zainab Mohammed. Shout out to Zainab. I'm sure she listens to my podcast. In Islam, dog is haram and filthy animal, yet you let your dog sleep on your bed. This is another disgusting. The most disgusting thing is you are gay. I have a Pakistani friend who is gay, but she is in denial. I find her disgusting when she talks disgusting thing without realizing that she is gay. Gays should be killed. People, go read your Bible. Don't read that about Prophet Lot. Peace be upon him. Ameen. And read what God punished the people for sodomy for being gay. God sent Lot, peace be upon him, to guide his people, but they didn't list to him and his warning. Then God destroyed the prophet, Lot's nation, and saved Lot, peace be upon him and his daughters.
What?
Voice of reason. I mean, this
I mean,
is
now I'm straight. I get what? It. Thanks.
Like, what a crazy thing to think and type. And then the whole plot line of her and her friend that she knows is gay, but the friend doesn't know she's gay.
But like,
and
still talks about thing.
The friend's like, oh, everyone at the mosque today is pretty hot. Yeah. In terms of the ladies and their breasts. And Zainab's like, no, disgusting! You should be killed, but you're my best friend.
I want this to be a web series.
Oh my God. Zainab, reach out. JK, yeah. I never want to physically have you near me because you're obviously just the worst.
A wackadoo.
Worst behavior.
Mm-hmm.
God, now that is, and then the best is that people comment on that being like, ah, oh, you're obviously a lesbian. And then she
flips
keeps, then
out.
She flips the fuck out and she's like, I'm not lesbian, you disgusting Tiffany, disgusting, you are lesbian. Anyways, she is the coolest lady trolling my videos.
One of my favorite facts that I learned in college, not a fact, this is a thing I read. You know, a thing I read one time that I vaguely remember, so I'm going to report it as fact.
Report it.
Is that some scientists did a study, already very factual.
Already some, very believable.
Some scientists did a study where they corralled a group of men voluntarily, not like forced, but they were like, got a group of guys and asked them a bunch of questions to gauge how homophobic they were.
Okay.
And then they split them into two groups. But then the guys who were pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then the homophobic guys.
And is this a legend from your brain, or this is something that
this
you
is,
know that you read?
I know
kind
I
of?
Read.
Yeah. Okay.
I
okay.
I don't
so,
remember.
So
from
we're
where.
Now. So we're there. We're split. We got the guys that are like, guy, oh, don't touch my dick.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking gay. Like those guys were in a in. One
like that. What
group.
Makes you homophobic is not wanting your dick touched. Don't touch my fucking dick with your dick. Fucking
by
homophobes.
Anyone, even if they're girlfriends. Oh, what the fuck, Brenda? Fucking fag! Don't touch my dick. They just constantly wear chastity belts. So they had the guys sit in their own.
I'm gonna cut out this
booths.
Background music. I don't think it was doing what I wanted it to do.
Is it Drake? I think it was
a song featuring Drake, but it doesn't need to. This is I'm editing. See, I'm listening to your feedback.
So the guys sat in a private little spanky bank area with a screen. And they had some sort of like mercury ring around their dicks to measure pressure of their penises to see how they erect they would get.
Yeah.
And they would just flash random imagery and video at both types of men.
Yes.
To see what turned them on. And something like 80% of the homophobic guys had like at least 30% like increase in dick hardness when they saw gay stuff. And when I read that, I was like, yeah, in your face. Like it was a huge margin of the homophobic guys being like, oh no.
I want someone to find that study and
I know,
send
please
it
someone.
Please someone.
Mercury
we would use
dick
our fingers,
ring.
But we're too busy mercurying our dick rings.
Google homophobic mercury dick ring
please.
Science. Please find it.
Please science. Please find it.
I think that's gonna do it. I think us begging like that is gonna have science bring
let's,
the report.
Let's breathe together and then you can tell me if you've ever been interested in transcendental meditation.
No, I have been. I do mindfulness meditation through the Shambhala Center here in New York.
Ooh.
But not transcendental. Transcendental seems a little culty to me.
Do you know Trungpa Chopra? Chokra?
Chopra.
Important people from Shambhala. My friend's uncle is part of them.
Really?
Yeah, Trungpa Chopra.
Trungpa Rinpoche?
Maybe.
The son of the guy, of like the main guy?
Her uncle is together with the wife of the main guy.
Wait. What? Wait. Her uncle is with
Chogyam Trungpa.
Oh, that's his wife. Wait, what? Wait, who's the uncle? There's the wife?
There is an uncle who is the doctor, and he is the doctor, and he makes speech. I'm like wringing my hands right now because I'm so nervous about what I'm saying, what I'm not saying.
No, but for a split second, I thought you were like, because you were like, her uncle is with the wife of the main guy. And I was like, are they in a polyamorous three-way relationship?
I think
so. They are?
Yeah.
What? That's so great.
At the top of Shambhala is polyamory.
That's enlightenment. Yeah. It's just all the dicks and pussy.
I just
me.
Can't do it. I want to, but I can't. I mean, I don't want to.
I don't.
But
I mean, I
you
want.
Know, like,
yeah,
it'd be perfect.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It seemed it would solve a lot of stuff that long-term relation, a lot of issues that they have.
Yeah.
It would be like, I'm so secure in myself that I can do this, but I'm not. I get so jealous.
Yeah.
I don't
why
think
would
I
you
could
ever want your girl to be getting fucked by someone else and being like,
yeah,
this is great. Oof, I love the way you make me feel.
And then,
but at the same time, like those feelings inevitably, like, I mean, we've been together for almost 6 years, and I'm sure for her and for me, like you've met people that make you feel like, oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, we all have that. Where
but
we get,
I guess it's just like frivolous too.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever be able to. I am getting to the point where when I think about it hypothetically, I'm like, well, I've been interested in other people and still been in love with the person I'm with.
Oh,
maybe
for sure.
That's true for them. But then in practice, I think I would be like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I would be
I
insane.
I can't do it.
I don't think I can. Interesting fact, I first met you in San Francisco the weekend you met your wife.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Party on the weekend.
Whoa!
Yeah, we were both did a show at the Purple Onion.
Yes.
And you were downstairs and you guys were very cute sitting together. And then I think
so
you
that
like
the,
came
that
over
was
to
the weekend.
Booth.
Then that had to be the weekend that I had come back to visit her because I met her. We like kissed all night one night.
Really?
And then I had to go.
Because I remember that you like came to because like me and a bunch of the comics were sitting in the booth and you came over and you were like, I'm in San Francisco and I just fell in love.
Yeah.
And then you guys like ran upstairs and like I assume just ran off to like paint the streets pink
oh
with love.
Oh my God, we totally did. Yeah. We like could not stop just kissing everywhere. It was the best.
Yay.
Yeah. Shout out to that time. Shout out to that time. It's her birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, baby love. I love you so much. And every day that passes, I remember how simple your love is, how good you are.
You sound like an old-timey Southern lawyer when you sexy talk.
And half the property will be yours upon divorce.
Let the jury.
Would you like to do long time forevers? Or do you think, okay, I see this pattern and I think this is an ideal thing?
I am a little bit in a place where I no longer believe in love.
No way.
Yeah, I am. Just because I've had a lot of bad stuff happen. Uh-huh. And this last girl was a good girl, but I just like couldn't get over my shit.
So you take ownership over the problem, over the reason why you broke up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Every time?
Not every time. This time around, yes, I was absolutely.
But then why
like,
don't you? But that's not about. That's not a matter of being in love.
But even beyond that, like I think it's. Let's get back to my parents' divorce. Like
yeah,
I don't.
For sure. I mean
in,
that.
Yeah, it has an effect. Like in my life, I don't see any examples of long-term happy marriage. Like my grandparents on my mom's side stayed together until they did the whole death do you part.
Yeah.
But they slept in separate rooms and it was so clear that by the end of it they were like, I just want to spend as much time away from you as possible. I love you, but I just can't, you know. And like,
but you don't have any one single example of a long-termy that
of a long-termy thing that seemed happy? Not really. Like, not like I'm sure that each of my family members who are still married to each other and like my friends that have been married a long, long time, I'm sure they have things that are happy. But when I look at their relationships,
you see the
I'm like
the glaring
this just
issues.
Like you guys just seem exhausted.
Yeah, but that's the part. I mean, like that's the yeah. I mean,
and I know it's not a picnic. I know that the good outweighs the bad, but I don't think and in my relationships. Like I have not had good ones. Like I don't like I just don't pick good people. I don't have trust in myself.
So then that's a thing where you read The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Okay.
That's a really good one.
I'm
going to
pick that up. I'm so into self-help books. I will
pick
that up.
It's so good. It's like Toltec spiritual advice that's also very pragmatic. And it's a good self-reflection book about pain and not carrying pain and being aware of the pain, the baggage you're carrying and all that. But at the same time, we're also in a period in the world where we don't have to... You're not bound to expectations, especially as a gay woman. That's the freeing thing, is like you don't have all your relatives being like, when are you going to get that baby? Then the whole order of the way life works out happening. But I think that you, as you're saying this, it sounds like you kind of also say it in this sort of way where you realize you're in a moment where you're in a breakup and you're like, oh, yeah, I don't believe in love in that post-breakup way.
Yeah, I mean, and it's been like this for a while, though. Like, even when I was in a relationship, I was like, well, let's just see.
Well, then
what
that probably wasn't
here.
The right one, then.
Yeah. And I do think that if I do end up finding my person,
She's working on the weekend.
I look back on this and think how we had the club going up.
You're gonna find her at the club.
At the club, perfect. I will spend all my time there. but I think if it does happen for me, I do think it's gonna happen in a way where it just kind of ends up. Because I've wanted to get married for a very long time, sort of family. But now I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't want to put that pressure. Like, if we're gonna be together forever, let's just be together forever.
Yeah, and let's not. I mean, that's on this trip in Thailand, Shauna at one point was like, "Is this the best trip of your life?" And I was like, yeah, I mean, this is a wonderful trip, but it's like we have this tendency or need to hyperbolize. Is that even a word? Like to make when you have a best friend to be like, we are best friends and we're going to be best friends forever. But anyone who's had a friendship knows that actually the best friendships are ones that are not at all the best in the same way for every moment. It's about like outlasting the valley, the peaks and valleys.
Also, the best friendship you can have is the friendship with yourself.
Yeah, girl, you gotta tuck yourself in and kiss yourself on the cheek like a good friend would, and then just sort of put your hands rim your panties.
You always sound like a creepy southern guy when you do sexy times.
You figured it out.
I did.
You figured it out. This week's can opening figure out. Do I always sound like a creepy southern dude? Yes. The winner, Janine Brito, way from Miami-Dade County, Alabama, St. Louis, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Hong Kong. What's the other one? The exotic?
Paisley, Scotland.
I mean, man, was everything kind of patterned over there? Okay, yeah, all right. Oh, do you love me? Do you hate me? You're listening either way. We're going to call my mother.
Wait, are we really? What?
Just like that.
I'm so nervous. I get so nervous with people's pants.
Put your pants back on.
Okay. Oh, God. My dick's too big.
Put that tiara on. Ah. Take off those bejeweled earrings and eat them.
Wait, are we for real calling your mom right now, Sabrina?
Yeah, get those dried spaghettis out of your ears.
Hello.
Hello. You're my mother, and I love you.
Hi, Sabrina's mom. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Woo!
Woo! Am I dreaming, or is this a call again?
You're not supposed to reveal that. We recorded back-to-back episodes.
Okay, I didn't know that.
You keep your mouth shut.
Did you tell me that, Tina?
At this stage in the game, we're on episode 753. I would expect you to be in line.
What have you been doing today, Sabrina's mom? What have you been doing?
It's Ursula Fry.
Oh, Ursula Fry. Hello.
Well, what did I have? What did I do today? I had a luncheon.
Dignified lady.
The Christmas luncheon. Yeah, it was nice.
Jesus Christ Almighty.
Yeah, it was nice.
So what kinds of things did you guys talk about in your, I'm assuming it's the Swiss group?
It's the Swiss group, yeah.
Wow, continental, international.
Did you just call my mom a cunt?
Yeah.
No, I would never.
What kind of juicy gossip is going around the Canadian Swiss mill?
Not really any gossip. I try not to gossip. I don't you know what? I don't think they gossip too much. At least I'm not in that circle of gossip. I don't know that many people there.
You know what that means?
I'm on the fringe, you know, on the edge.
They talking shit about you. You're on the fringe? Wait, you're the secretary. You take care of the money. You should be popular.
Everybody knows me, but I don't know everybody.
Would you rather be popular or a nice person?
A nice person.
Aww. Would you rather have $1 million or just the goodness in your heart?
Oh, Bina, I'd like both.
Would you rather have a lesbian daughter or a gay son?
Oh, don't ask me silly questions, okay?
Which one would you rather?
I'm not playing that game, whatever it's called. You know, the game you're playing, how many questions? I'm not playing that game.
Oh,
okay?
Shout out to my web series, How Many Questions? And shout out to my mom for doing a natural plug.
Okay.
Natural plugs.
Okay.
So what sort of thing? What is it's the Swedish? What is the group?
Swiss.
The Swiss?
No.
The
it's Swiss from Switzerland.
Oh, I am a dumb American.
Aryan nation meetings.
They have a Swiss club in almost all big cities, just like they probably have Italian clubs or French clubs or whatever.
Oh,
and then
that's
they have
moved to the big city
sections, like the women's section, the men's section. They have a bowling section.
Ooh, do the men's section and the women's section ever do the hokey pokey?
No, but sometimes they do have events together. Oh.
Do the Swiss ladies? Because I know in England they have high tea where they have like some teas and stuff in the afternoon.
They get stoned and drink tea.
Do you guys have anything that you kind of do socially with each other, like regularly?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of socials. Well, not a lot, but probably maybe about once a month there's something going on. You know, sometimes there's a couple of trips a year. There's a potluck every year. You know, there's the Christmas luncheon.
That's very
sometimes
busy.
We go and see a show together.
You're a busy lady.
And then every month there is a, what we call Kaffee Klatsch, where you just meet at a restaurant casually.
You put coffees in your clutch?
Whoever can make it,
Whoever gets naked?
Whoever can make it, whoever can has time to go there will go there and you just sit.
What's the clutch part of the cafe?
Yeah.
But is clutch just a Swiss term for
or
drink
is it
that
like
shit?
The cool world? Like, that's
means,
clutch.
You know, cafe clutch means get together and talk about whatever,
Dope drinks.
These drinks are clutch.
Mom, we were just talking about Janine just went through a breakup. She's also a gay like me, so don't worry, it's happened to other people's children. And she had maybe doesn't believe in love. So do you have any words of wisdom for someone who is going through a breakup and losing hope in love?
Well, I mean, I
love is bullshit.
Say there's probably a lot of interesting people out there. And there's for sure, there are people out there that are for you. I don't believe that there's only one out there and that's the only one. So I can say whoever you lost was not the only one. There are other people out there. You just have to be open and look.
So cute.
Yeah. That's all.
Aww.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ursula.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always difficult, but I always find that people who go through any kind of difficult situation, when you look back after maybe a year or so, you will say, well, maybe this was a good thing,
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I believe it. Those are good words, Mama.
Maybe somebody else will come along and maybe that person is better for you.
In the club.
It'll have to be better for her. For sure.
Yeah,
in the club.
Sometimes it's easy to...
You got to listen to what my mom's saying.
I am listening.
It's just convenient sometimes to stay with somebody, It's more convenient than to face the reality and break up,
That's right. So from us here at My Sexy Podcast, from Ursula Fry's lips to your ears, it's time to break up, America.
Okay.
Come on, America. You know what to do.
Okay. All right.
Time to flush those lovers down the toilet and break up. Okay, Mom, this is the last episode of 2014, so on the count of three, can we all say together, kiss my ass, 2014, you a hoe! Ready?
Okay.
One, two, three. Kiss my ass, 2014. You a hoe. See you in 2015, listeners. I Bye. Love ya.
Okay, Tina. Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Oh, your mom's Bye. So cute.
Brush your Bye. Teeth tonight.
Bye.
Bye.
She's Bye. So cute. And her name's Ursula, like the sea witch. Yes. I love it.
Okay.
You're supposed to be God.
Wait, and she calls you Dina?
No.
Or Bina?
God, no, Dina.
Brina?
What is Dina? Am I hanging up Dina. Now or what? Am I hanging up, Dina?
Unless you want to listen to this bullshit. She just thought that you called me Dina.
Bina?
Yeah.
Bina
am I hanging up now?
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Love you.
Bye.
That's so embarrassing. She wasn't supposed to hear me call her a sea witch.
Or when you called her a cunt to her ears.
I did. She's very continental.
Guys, it would have been magical if we ended with those sleigh bells, but yet again, we have outdone ourselves, and Janine Brito has ruined it all. Los Angeles, you can take her. Merry Christmas, Shin Wan's on Hanukkah.
Stone cold. Personal space isn't really a thing. Don't you know you are my heartache? And I'll go fooling around and chasing old mistakes. Yeah, that's